Welcome to Bite-Sized Breakthroughs, where we unpack the complex world of AI research. Today, we're diving deep into the realm of autonomous driving simulation, a critical component for developing safe and reliable self-driving cars. Relying solely on real-world data is expensive, slow, and often doesn't cover the rare edge cases needed for robust testing. That's where simulation comes in, and specifically, generative world models. We're discussing a recent paper titled Gaia 2, a controllable multi-view generative world model for autonomous driving from researchers at Wave. To help us dissect this, we have two fantastic guests, Dr. Paige Turner, who has closely analyzed the paper's methodology and findings. Welcome, Paige.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Happy to be here.
And Professor Wid Spectrum, an authority in autonomous systems and simulation, to give us broader context. Welcome, Professor.
Pleasure to join the discussion, Alex. This area is moving rapidly.
Great. So, Paige, let's start with some context. For this kind of generative simulation, what was the landscape like before this Gaia 2 paper, and what specific problem is this new work trying to solve?
Absolutely. Well, a relevant predecessor from the same group was Gaia 1, released in late 2023. It introduced text and ego action conditioning for generating driving scenarios. However, it primarily focused on single-camera views and used a discrete latent space. Think of it like a fixed dictionary of visual patterns. This limited its ability to capture very smooth temporal changes and didn't directly address the multi-camera setups essential for AV perception.
So less smooth and single view was the limitation there with Gaia 1.
Exactly. And the control offered was less granular. The core problem Gaia 2 tackles is generating realistic, temporally and spatially coherent multi-camera driving videos with fine-grained, structured control over numerous elements simultaneously: the ego vehicle's actions, other agents, the environment, road layout, and even semantic concepts. Precisely, Alex. And this drive towards highly controllable multi-view generation isn't isolated. We're seeing a significant push across the board, whether it's for advanced game engines, embodied AI robotics, or as in Gaia 2's case, autonomous driving, for what many are terming interactive generative video, or IGV. The core challenge in all these areas is creating systems that not only generate realistic sensory data, but also respond dynamically and coherently to ongoing interactions. Gaia 2's focus on multi-camera consistency and structured control directly tackles some of the hardest open problems in making IGV practical for safety-critical applications like autonomous vehicles.
That sets the stage nicely. Paige, what would you highlight as the key technical contributions or innovations presented in Gaia 2?
There are several key advancements Gaia 2 brings together in a single framework. First, the multi-camera generation, up to five views shown, with enforced spatial and temporal consistency. Second, the rich structured conditioning. It accepts a wide array of inputs, which we can detail later. Third, it achieves this using a continuous latent space, moving away from Gaia 1's discrete tokens for better smoothness. Fourth, it leverages flow matching for generation within a large latent diffusion model framework. And fifth, it offers flexible inference modes, generating from scratch, autoregressive prediction, in-painting, and scene editing.
Okay, that's quite a list of advancements. You mentioned several new terms there, like continuous latents and flow matching. To help us understand how Gaia 2 achieves all this, could you unpack the methodology? You said it has two main components.
Certainly. Gaia 2 consists of two main components trained independently. First is the video tokenizer. Its job is to compress the high-resolution input video, like 448 by 960 pixels per camera, into a much smaller, compact latent representation, and then decompress latents back into video. Think of it as a highly specialized video codec.
A compressor and decompressor for video. Got it. And the second part?
The second component is the latent world model, a large transformer network that operates entirely within this compressed latent space. It's the core engine that learns the dynamics of the world and performs the conditional generation.
Let's dive into that video tokenizer first. How does it achieve this compression, and what's special about its design? You mentioned it uses that continuous latent space. How does that work?
The tokenizer uses an asymmetric transformer architecture, The encoder is 85 million parameters. The decoder is larger at 200 million. It performs significant downsampling, 32 times spatially and 8 times temporally. So a 448 by 960 frame becomes roughly a 14 by 30 grid of spatial tokens, and 8 input frames become one temporal latent step.
That's a huge compression ratio.
It is. And crucially, it outputs into that continuous latent space. Instead of picking from a fixed codebook like Gaia 1, the encoder outputs parameters for a Gaussian distribution for each latent token with 64 channels. This continuous nature allows for smoother representation of changes. The decoder then takes multiple latent time steps, like 3 steps corresponding to 24 original frames, to reconstruct the video, using temporal attention to ensure consistency over that chunk.
And how is this tokenizer trained? What makes the reconstructions look good?
It's trained with a combination of losses, standard pixel level L1 and L2 losses, an LPIP's perceptual loss for visual similarity, and a Dino V2 distillation loss to ensure the latents capture semantic meaning. There's also a tiny KL divergence loss for regularization. After initial training, the decoder is further fine-tuned using a GAN loss, that's generative adversarial network loss, with a 3D convolutional discriminator.
So adversarial training helps boost the final realism.
Exactly. It pushes beyond simple pixel matching.
That architectural choice for the tokenizer, the continuous latent space combined with strong semantic losses like Dino and then GAN fine-tuning, really reflects a maturing understanding in the field. For a long time, the trade-off was between the efficiency of discrete tokens and the expressive power needed for subtle temporal dynamics. Continuous latents, as Paige described, offer a much richer representational capacity, crucial for avoiding the kind of visual jumps or lost nuance that can break immersion or realism. And the GAN step is vital. It pushes the visual output beyond what simple pixel reconstruction losses can achieve, towards the kind of photorealism demanded by simulation where the look and feel really matters for downstream tasks.
Okay, that covers the tokenizer. Now onto the latent world model, the 8.4 billion parameter beast. Paige, how does it work in this latent space, especially integrating controls?
Right. This is the core generator. It's a large space-time factorized transformer with 22 layers, taking sequences of latent tokens as input. The key is how it weaves in the conditioning signals. It uses 2 main techniques within its transformer blocks.
What are those techniques?
First is adaptive layer normalization, or ADALN. This modifies standard layer normalization by dynamically predicting its scale and shift parameters based on certain conditions. Gaia 2 uses ADALN specifically for the ego vehicle action, speed and curvature, and the flow matching time step tau. These signals have a global influence, so ADALN modulates the network's overall processing style. The second technique is cross-attention. This is used for most other conditioning signals, agent bounding boxes, environmental metadata, clip embeddings, etc. Here, the video latent tokens attend to the conditioning signals, allowing the model to selectively pull in relevant context, like focusing on agent information in the correct part of the scene.
So ADALN for global style based on ego motion, cross-attention for injecting specific context like agents or weather.
Precisely, it allows nuanced control.
Could you give more examples of the specific conditioning inputs used? The range sounds impressive.
Yes, it's quite extensive. Beyond ego action and agents, it includes camera parameters like intrinsics and extrinsics, allowing generation for different camera rigs seen on sports cars or vans. Timestamp embeddings handle variable frame rates like 20 or 30 hertz. The agent conditioning uses 3D bounding boxes projected to 2D, encoding location, orientation, dimensions, and category. Metadata covers country, weather, time of day, speed limits, lane counts and types, like bus or cycle lanes, traffic light states, intersection types like roundabouts and crossings. It can also take clip embeddings for text or image control, like generating a winding road through a mountain range. And it uses proprietary scenario embeddings from another wave model to generate semantic variations like overtaking versus following.
And the detail there is crucial. Specifying lane counts, traffic light states, agent dimensions, this moves generative models closer to being truly useful functional simulators for AVs, not just cool video generators. listening to Paige describe Gaia 2's capabilities with its tokenizer and that sophisticated latent world model, it's clear it makes significant strides in what we might consider core modules of an ideal interactive generative system. The generation capability is obviously very advanced, as is the control module, given the fine-grained conditioning you've detailed. The way it handles temporal information and multi-camera views also speaks to a strong memory component.
You mentioned earlier that Gaia 2 uses flow matching. Professor, you touched on why iterative methods are generally preferred over direct prediction. Could you recap that? And Paige, could you then explain the flow matching mechanism in more detail?
Certainly. The core issue with direct prediction using standard losses is that it tends to average possibilities, leading to blurry or generic outputs, especially for complex data like video. Iterative refinement methods like flow matching or diffusion start from noise and gradually build detail, allowing them to sample from the data distribution more effectively, yielding higher fidelity, diversity, and better handling of multiple possibilities, avoiding that mode collapse problem. Flow matching, in particular, aims to define these trajectories from noise to data more directly, often offering benefits in training stability or sampling efficiency compared to some earlier diffusion formulations.
And flow matching specifically works like this. You define a path, often a straight line, from pure noise to the clean data point, x clean. The equation might look like x at time tau equals tau times x clean plus 1 minus tau times noise. The model learns to predict the velocity vector needed to follow this path, which for that simple path is v equals x clean minus noise. During inference, you start with noise and use an ODE solver, CAP, that's ordinary differential equation solver. At each small time step, you ask the model for the predicted velocity at your current position and take a tiny step in that direction, effectively tracing the path from noise towards what the model thinks the clean data should be, arriving at the final generated latent X1.
Got it. So it learns the direction from noise to data. Now let's talk training. How was this huge system built?
It required a massive data set and significant compute. About 25 million two-second clips from the UK, US, and Germany, collected over several years with varied vehicles and cameras. They carefully balanced the data and used held-out regions for validation. For compute, the tokenizer used 128 H100 GPUs for 300,000 steps, and the world model used 256 H100 GPUs for 460,000 steps.
Any estimate on the total compute time or cost?
Estimating precisely is hard without step times, but it likely translates to low millions of H100 GPU hours total for the final runs. The dollar cost heavily depends on hardware access. It could range from under $1 million to low millions, but certainly a major investment. Training also involves specific strategies like mixing tasks like from scratch generation and contextual prediction, plus aggressive conditioning dropout to enable classifier-free guidance if needed later.
Okay, inference time. You mentioned different modes and this concept of generating chunks. Can you clarify how the denoising process relates to generating longer sequences? Maybe autoregressively. Paige mentioned autoregressive prediction was one of the modes earlier.
Certainly. The core engine, the latent world model using flow matching, generates a chunk of multiple latent time steps simultaneously through its iterative denoising process. When generating from scratch, it starts purely from random noise and refines it over 50 steps using a linear quadratic schedule into a clean latent chunk guided only by the provided conditions. For autoregressive prediction, this is where the chunk generation is used sequentially. You provide an initial clean latent chunk as context. The model then generates the next chunk, conditioned on that past context and new control signals. This newly generated chunk can then become the context for predicting the following chunk, allowing for longer rollouts.
So the denoising creates each chunk, and these chunks are linked sequentially, autoregressively, to make longer videos.
Exactly. The other modes like in-painting and scene editing also leverage this core conditional denoising engine. And that architectural decision to combine a powerful chunk-wise generator, in this case using flow matching, with an overarching autoregressive structure for temporal progression is a really clever way to tackle a fundamental tension in video generation.
You see, purely autoregressive models can excel at long-term coherence but might struggle with per-frame detail or become computationally very expensive for high fidelity. On the other hand, models that generate entire sequences in one go sometimes lose that fine-grained temporal dependency. This hybrid approach, which is a growing trend, tries to find a sweet spot. Using the strong generative power of diffusion or flow models for rich, detailed chunks of video, and then the proven ability of autoregression to string these meaningful segments together coherently over time. It's about modularizing the problem of video generation into manageable, yet powerful, steps.
In Classifier Free Guidance, or CFG, you mentioned training enables it. How does that fit in during inference?
Right? Classifier Free Guidance, or CFG, is used to make the output adhere more strongly to conditions during inference. It involves running the model twice per step, once with conditions, once without, and extrapolating in the direction of the condition, controlled by a guidance scale, which ranged from 2 to 20 here. Gaia 2 uses it optionally, only for challenging or out-of-distribution scenarios because it doubles the inference cost. They also use spatially selective CFG for agent conditioning. The computationally expensive dual pass is only done for latent tokens corresponding to the agent locations, significantly saving compute while still boosting control where needed.
That selective CFG is a practical compromise, boosting control locally without incurring the full cost globally.
Makes sense. How did they evaluate Gaia 2's performance? What were the key results?
Qualitatively, the paper shows many examples, generating consistent video across different camera rigs, synthesizing scenes purely from ego actions like acceleration from stop, resulting in a plausible traffic light change, controlling environments via text prompts like Sandy Desert, creating diverse semantic variations using scenario embeddings. For instance, showing the same starting scene, leading to distinct overtaking or lane-following maneuvers. Generating safety-critical events like steering into oncoming traffic based on unsafe ego actions or simulating sudden braking by lead vehicles via agent control, and seamlessly inserting agents like cyclists or trucks into existing scenes via inpainting. Quantitatively, as shown in Figure 13 of the paper, they tracked metrics over training. For visual fidelity, they used Fréchet-Dino distance, FDD, and Fréchet inception distance, comparing generated versus real video distributions, noting FDD was less noisy. For temporal consistency, they used Fréchet video motion distance, FVMD, comparing key point motion statistics. For agent control, they calculated intersection over union IOU between the conditioning agent bounding boxes and segmentation masks run on the generated output. All metrics showed improvement during training, and importantly, the validation loss correlated well with human judgments of quality.
That multifaceted evaluation is crucial. There's no single perfect metric for generative models, especially for video. So, combining distributional metrics for visual fidelity like FDD and FID with temporal consistency measures like FVMD, and then task-specific metrics like agent IOU for control adherence gives a much more holistic picture of performance. The qualitative examples showing control over safety-critical events are particularly telling for the AV domain. Ultimately, the goal of these simulations is not just to look real, but to be functionally realistic and controllable in ways that are relevant for training and testing driving policies. The positive correlation with human perceptual preference is also a very good sign that the underlying objective functions are pushing the model in a sensible direction.
No model is perfect. What limitations or areas for future work did the paper acknowledge?
They were candid about several areas. Like most generative models, Gaia 2 can occasionally produce temporal or semantic inconsistencies, particularly in very long horizon generations or highly complex scenarios. Reliability and consistency remain key challenges. Inference speed is another factor. While parallelizable, generating video in near real time is computationally intensive. Future work mentioned includes improving consistency, exploring model distillation for speed, aiming for richer control like nuanced agent behaviors and language interaction, and further enriching the training data with rare events.
Those limitations Paige highlighted, long-term consistency, inference speed, and the depth of physical and causal reasoning are indeed the grand challenges for the entire field of interactive generative video. if we think about an ideal IGV system, it would need strong memory for that long-term coherence, highly efficient generation, robust dynamic simulation, and ultimately a sophisticated intelligence module for causal reasoning and adaptation. Current models like Gaia 2 are making excellent progress on the generation, control, and aspects of memory. The deeper integration of physics and causal understanding is where a lot of future research will likely focus. And for autonomous driving, ensuring these models generalize robustly to the long tail of rare events, while being verifiable and safe, remains the ultimate objective.
Considering these points, what is the broader impact or potential application of Gaia 2?
Its main impact is advancing generative world models for AV simulation. It's a tool for extensive data augmentation, targeted scenario generation, especially rare events, and potentially accelerating AV development cycles by enabling more efficient testing and validation in a controlled synthetic environment.
I agree with Paige. Gaia 2 is a significant marker in the evolution of learned world models for complex interactive domains. This shift from handcrafted simulators to data-driven, generative approaches is profound. While the sim-to-real gap will always be a critical consideration, models that offer this level of fidelity, multi-view coherence, and fine-grained control, as Gaia 2 does, inherently provide a richer and more adaptable synthetic environment. The architectural insights and conditioning techniques here could certainly inspire similar efforts in areas like robotics, where agents need to learn in complex dynamic worlds, or even in creating more interactive and emergent virtual environments for training or entertainment.
Fantastic discussion. So wrapping up, what are the main insights listeners should take away from Gaia 2?
Gaia 2 demonstrates building a single, large generative model for high fidelity, multi-camera driving video with impressive structured control over many aspects, effectively using continuous latency, flow matching, and versatile conditioning methods.
It underscores the maturation of generative AI for practical, complex tasks like AV simulation. The key takeaway is the sophisticated controllability combined with realism and multi-view coherence, pushing towards functionally useful synthetic data generation.
A powerful step forward in simulation for autonomous driving. Dr. Paige Turner, Professor Wood Spectrum, thank you both for sharing your expertise and walking us through this intricate paper.
My pleasure, Alex. Glad to contribute.
And thank you for listening to Bite-Sized Breakthroughs. Join us next time as we explore another cutting-edge development in AI.